Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Please take your worship books and turn to number 15 and let us sing a new song unto the one who has done marvelous things. Let us stand and join in our worship. Join our hearts together now in prayer. Most holy and gracious God, we gather in the presence of your majesty with trembling joy to give you the worship you so richly deserve. Open the eyes of our hearts, we pray, that we may better know you and more fully delight in you. Sanctify us through this worship, making us to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. in order that we may live lives more pleasing unto you. We ask it all in the name of the one who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. And now let us lift up our hearts to give our Lord thanks and praise. Let us turn to number 17 in our worship books and glorify our most high and exalted God, joining with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven as we proclaim his great and incomparable name, praising him and singing. Presence. It's now incumbent upon us to humble ourselves and freely and fully confess our sins, both as individuals and as a church. Strengthened by his grace, let us now turn from our sin and recommit ourselves to walk obediently in faith. Let us pray together with sincere hearts as we turn now to number 8 in our worship books. Number 8, found on the blue pages in the back. As we pray this together, I invite you to speak these words right unto the God of grace. He is here to listen to your cries. And following the praying of this prayer together, we'll take some moments to personalize it in silent prayer. Let us join our hearts in confession. Almighty Redeemer, merciful Savior, you know how the world around us and our own hearts have been impacted by the power of darkness. Your good creation has become the haunt of demons. All of life has been twisted, corrupted, and directed away from you. We find ourselves enslaved to various passions and destructive habits. We sense that in the very core of our being, there is something bent and broken. Yet we know that through faith in your glorious gospel, these powers have been broken by the almighty indwelling power of our risen Lord. Through the Holy Spirit, you come to free us and remake us in your own glorious image. Therefore, we will not despair. Rather, we will call on you, trust in you, hope in you. Shine your pure light into our shame and darkness. Come and free us. Remake us. Now, in this moment, we open ourselves to you and beg that you would visit us with your transforming power and healing love. We ask it all to the glory of your name. Amen. Now lift up your heads and hear the good news as recorded in the 5th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access into this grace by faith, this grace in which we stand. And so, as forgiven sinners, let us rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Prayer is such a wonderful gift to us as God's people. Our hearts are like little trickles, sort of drip, 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 and we come together as a church, and all those little trickles flow together, and they make a stream, they make a river that goes into the presence of God. And we are all strengthened in that. Prayer is meant to be a gift for us, but it's not easy to pray, and especially to listen to someone pray. It's hard for us to engage ourselves. Our minds wander. And I want to just encourage you today. We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer now. And one thing I have found very helpful in listening to someone praying is to echo what is said in my own mind. So I envision myself before the throne of grace, and as I hear the person say a phrase, I echo it in my mind and speak it to the Lord silently and stay engaged in the prayer through faith. And that really helps me. And then also, periodically throughout this time of prayer, I will say to you, oh goodness, my mind went blank. What is it we say when you, the Lord have mercy?
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah. Lord, in your mercy, and you will respond, hear our prayer, okay? So we'll do that today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I'll do that periodically through the prayer to sort of call us back together and re-engage us. So let's join our hearts together now and come into the presence of a God who very much wants to hear us, who wants to work through our prayers. Let us pray powerful prayers of faith today as his people. Let us come to him. O blessed Lord, we thank you that through faith we can transcend the distance between this earth and that other dimension where you dwell in glory. And we can come right into your very august presence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to a Father who loves us, a Father who has adopted us, a Father who loved us before the creation of the world. We come to a Savior who has given his all for us, and whoever lives above for us, making intercession and sending the Holy Spirit to be a very real presence in our lives, to empower us, to bring us grace that strengthens us and guides and gives wisdom to our lives and unifies us together as people of love and gives us hearts of service. Oh, how we bless your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. How needy we are of you this day. And Lord, you know where each of us are in our pilgrim journey. You know the struggles that are deep within us, the weakness, the questions, the doubts, the dryness, the rebellion, the unbelief. Lord God, we pray that you would meet us today as a people, and that you would send forth streams of renewal into our hearts, that you would set our minds aflame with the truth of your word. We pray, O God, that you would do a wonderful work in our hearts this day, that when we leave this worship, each of us might have a sense that we have been in your presence and been renewed. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we know that there are those in our church who are experiencing special burdens and challenges, and we do lift up to you Sarah Glovin today. Lord, she is a woman who expresses such thankfulness to you. Even on the hospital bed, she is so grateful for all that you have done for her and only wants to give voice to that prayer. Lord, we pray for her today and ask that you would strengthen her and allow her to return to her little apartment at Wilkinson. And we pray for Mona Keister's sister, Yvonne Canada, who had a disappointment this week and was unable to receive a treatment she was hoping in, and we pray that you would provide for her a solution that will bring healing to her body. Our Lord, we pray for others who are privately going through challenges and struggles of health and emotional struggles. We ask, Lord, that you would draw near to each one and sustain them and lift them up with your mercy. So, Lord, in your mercy, we do pray for our nation. And, Lord, we are a people divided, and we need your help, O God, as a nation. And we lift up to you today the three branches of our government. We pray for the president and his cabinet, the executive branch. And we ask, Lord, that you would grant them wisdom and guidance. We pray also this for our Congress, for the House and the Senate and all of those involved. And we pray for our judicial branch, that they will continue to administer justice in this land. Our Lord, we pray that you would come and bring unity to us as a people. And we ask that our nation would honor you and your laws and your commandments. And we pray that all those in leadership would be good stewards and would seek to be righteous to you, O God, and to your truth revealed. Lord, we ask that in your mercy, we pray for our world, torn asunder by wars and rumors of wars, by intrigue and secret acts of aggression. Our Lord, we know that we live in a world that is equally torn asunder and threatening. And we thank you, Father, that we can see past all of this to your kingdom and its coming. And we do pray this day for peace in the Middle East. We ask that you would bring about a settlement of peace and end the destruction and the killing. And Lord, we pray that you would bring into this world your peace. We pray that in the midst of this peace, that your church would be able to bring forth its message. And we pray for your evangelists throughout the world, that the good news of grace through Jesus Christ might go forth in a new stream of power, and that many lives might be changed in a great harvest of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. And hear us now as we join together, Lord God, in prayer, saying the prayer that you taught us, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please take your hymnal and turn to the doxology on page 625 and let us stand and sing together. Together. Turn with me to number 716, and let us confess the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us join together as we continue confessing our faith. Worship book number 40, the Reformation hymn. Let us join together in singing of our faith in the great things God has done.
Thank you.
I invite you to turn with me in your pew Bibles to page 726, where we will be listening to the reading of Lamentations 3, and I will be reading verses 1 through 3 and then 19 through 26. Lamentations 3, page 726. Actually, we begin on 25, don't we? 725. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. Now here the Israelites are speaking collectively as one person after God's judgment upon them and exiled them out of the promised land because of their disobedience. So here is the person of Israel speaking. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. And now skip with me to verse 19. Remember my affliction and my bitterness, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And now turn with me in the New Testament to page 216. And we're going to be reading 1 Peter 1, 3 through 13 together. And as we read this, I'd like to invite you to go back to the teaching we had on this passage over the past months. It's been a while, but I'd just like to read it as a reminder to us of the nature of hope and the importance and vital necessity of hope in our lives, the role that it plays, and the content of hope for us. So let us stand together as we read the word of the Lord in respect for his word. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 13. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. The prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired about the salvation. They inquired what person or time was indicated by the Spirit of Christ within them when predicting the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things which have now been announced to you by those who preached the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Rock and Redeemer, amen. Hope is a great gift that God gives to his people, and it has been my desire to help you to grow in hope through the Spirit's working in you and by the Word, that you would become people filled with hope. Because hope indeed is the continual source of joy that transcends all the heartbreak of our lives. It's the renewable source of power that enables us to endure the toughest storms. And it's the primary motivation for our pursuit of holiness and selfless lives of service, among other things. Hope is absolutely vital for the Christian life. And today we want to just briefly consider how we can be growing in hope as we draw to the close of this series. You see, this hope is something that is not like the hope of the world. We saw that. It isn't anything that's self-generated. It isn't something that is just a matter of one's temperament, a sort of optimistic mindset. It is truly a grace that the Holy Spirit desires to work in the life of a believer, in the life of a person who has been reborn through the power of the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ, who is trusting in him, who is living for him. This is a precious gift that God wants to develop in your life. Hope is grace that flows from the risen Lord Jesus, from his heart of love for you, sent to you via the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and received by trusting in his great and precious promises regarding the ultimate future, and allowing them to shape your present perspective on life. Our Lord himself lived in hope. We read in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy set before him was the resurrection and the glory that was to follow. And so it is with us as we keep before us the great joy of sharing in his resurrection and all the glory to follow. We will endure our crosses. We will proceed through this difficult life living as aliens in a world that hates God, with a heavenly power that enables us to face the toughest storms. So I wonder, do you realize how absolutely essential and relevant hope is for your life in Christ? Perhaps when I first began speaking on the subject of hope, some of you were really tuned in and excited because you're presently going through some real discouragements, and you thought, wow, this is really going to help me to have a different perspective, a different attitude on this hardship I'm facing. But as things developed in the series, maybe you lost some interest. Maybe all the talk about seeing God face to face and the resurrection and the new creation struck you as somewhat irrelevant. Too often the future and not applicable to your present situations. Too pie in the sky-ish. I need something to help me with the here and now. So here's a question for us. How does this biblical hope function in our lives? Is it relevant? Does it make a difference day to day? Does it impact our daily struggle? Why do we desperately need it? What good does it do to focus on things that are so far off and even mysterious? Certainly it makes a difference in a funeral service. It gives us some comfort. But is it really to be a part of our day-to-day existence? To be thinking about these ultimate things that God has for us, this great inheritance that is stored up for you? Is that to be a part of our daily lives? Now, in answering this question, let me say first of all, and very briefly, that certainly hope isn't the only grace that God gives us to be able to move through the difficulties of life. The Apostle Paul was led by the Lord in 1 Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians. We find it at the end of the 13th chapter, to talk about faith, hope, and love as the three primary graces in which we are to abide. So God not only gives us hope to help us, he gives us faith, he gives us love. And love, of course, Paul says, is the greatest of the three. But it's important, I think, for us to understand and distinguish the difference between faith and hope, and how they work in our lives. Faith is something that is given to us by the Spirit, which allows us to trust in what God has done for us in Christ, and trust in all his promises, and allow them to impact our way as we move through life. So faith is looking at the immediate. Faith is looking at the present. And it's drawing from God's promises. You can't really live in faith if you don't know the promises of God and the precepts of God. You need to know what God has said, what God has promised you, what he has commanded you in order to live a life of faith. So if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not allowing the Word of God to really inform you, you can't walk in faith. But faith is for the immediate, you see. Hope, on the other hand, is trusting in what God will do for you when Christ returns, and allowing that to impact the way that you move through life today. So faith is looking at what God has done in Jesus Christ and allowing that to shape your day. Hope is looking ahead to what God will do on that ultimate day when Jesus returns, and allowing that to come and impact your day. So hope doesn't replace faith, rather it supplements and strengthens faith. Hope sort of runs into the future, and the future of ultimate blessings, and it brings back to the present all the joys and visions of delight that are found there. It brings the eternal perspective into the midst of our present struggle. And by doing so, you see, hope strengthens us. Now, you couldn't imagine going on a journey and not knowing the destination. You couldn't imagine setting out to, perhaps you were going to visit a relative or go on a vacation. You set out and you have no idea where you're going. What sort of journey would that be? It's by knowing the destination that the journey becomes a joy, becomes something that's tolerable. Driving all those hours becomes something that's easily done because you know where the destination is going to end up. And you see, hope plays that role in our spiritual journeys, in our journeys through life. It opens the way before us and shows us where we're headed. And that then empowers us to make the journey and to move along with joy and endurance and eager expectation, you see. That's why hope is so important. And that is how it differs from faith. It is bringing the future into the present and allowing that to strengthen faith. I said a few weeks ago that hope and faith are similar in that faith is a bigger category. Hope is sort of a subset of faith. It's a special kind of faith. And it's this faith that looks into the future. So just to flesh that out very briefly, we can imagine a person who's going through all sorts of hardship. Maybe this person's tempted. Maybe this person's going through physical trials. Maybe this person is lacking assurance in their life. Whatever the trial may be, but that person, through faith, goes to the Bible and reads promises there that strengthen that person. So they may go and they'll read in the scripture that God will not give us more than we can endure, but when we are tempted, he will provide a way out. We may go and read that he will never forsake us, that he is always with us. We may go and read that he is a source of power, that he is mighty to save. Whatever the circumstance is in our lives, there's a scripture to speak to it in the immediacy of our experience. And faith goes and reads those scriptures and takes them to heart and allows the Holy Spirit to powerfully work to testify in our spirits, to encourage us, to assure us, to strengthen us. Faith is a wonderful gift. And it's in that way that we are to be living every day of our lives. That's how we move forward as Christians. But take that same person now and think about what hope does, okay? Here's someone lying alone in a hospital bed without any family, soon to die, and they go in faith and they read about the fact that God is always with them. They read about the fact that God is present to strengthen them, that God will protect them, that God has numbered their days. There are all sorts of wonderful promises for that person in faith. But think of that person when they begin to think of their hope now in that hospital bed. And think of that person beginning to reflect on the fact that soon they will be freed from the body of death and they will rise again in the resurrected body, freed from all of the weaknesses and all of the inner and outer trials of life. That person soon is going to be beholding the God of glory face to face and be able to stand in his presence and to be like him. And that person is about to leave a hospital and a fallen world and enter into a whole new wonderful creation. I mean, that person hearing those things, reflecting on those things, suddenly is filled with a joy that is indomitable. The faith is strengthened by the hope. And that person finds himself singing in their hospital bed. You see? And that's just one example. We could sit here all day and we could think about all of the particulars of our lives. And I ask you, how does hope factor in? How does hope come to you and encourage you in your life and in your journey? How does it provide a framework for you in your life? Well, we need to move along, but I want to just give you in closing today a few directions for how to grow in hope. And I believe that hope is something that isn't, as I said, natural to us. It's something that needs to be worked down, worked deeply down into your life. I used the illustration a few weeks ago of a dried, cracked piece of wood and how you have to take the oils and rub them with great plenteous flow into all the cracks and crevices to restore that wood, to revitalize that wood. And hope is like that. It needs to be worked down into the dryness of our spirits. It isn't natural to us. And it is a spiritual activity. You begin by acknowledging that fact, that this isn't something you just do as an intellectual thing. You don't just say, well, I'm going to think about hope now. But you need the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to be able to begin to grow this wonderful gift in your heart so that you can become a hopeful person, so that we can become a hope-filled church. And the way that we do this is we need to understand and depend upon the Holy Spirit as a reality in our lives. If you are in Christ, you have been given his Spirit, and Jesus sends from himself his grace to you via the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to do this wonderful recreative work within you. You've been given that. That's part of your inheritance. And one thing he wants to do in you is to make you a hopeful person. And a person who understands the great hope that is to come and is eagerly anticipating it and is filled with joy in it and is living in that strength and power day by day. So begin with the Holy Spirit. Begin with asking Him to help you, to assist you in this process. And then we need to go to the Word, because it is the Word that the Holy Spirit uses. And if we don't understand what the Word has to say about our great hope, how will we exercise it? So I just touched on some things. We talked about seeing God face to face, and we talked about the resurrection body, and we talked about the fact that there is an entirely new creation, a new heavens and earth, that is reserved for us. There is this great inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ, and we need to grow in our understanding of that through the Word. So go to the Word and read and memorize passages like Romans 8 and 1 Peter 1 and Revelation 21 and the writings of the prophets, these sort of passages that talk greatly about the hope that is yours, that God has given you. He wants you to know and to cherish His Word and these truths in your life. Next, we want to be praying in regard to these things and worshiping in regard to these things. I said last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, make it a song every day of your life to sing about seeing God face to face, to sing about being like Him and the new body that is to come with all of the fullness of it, being transformed into His likeness. Sing about that new creation. Let your heart rejoice in this. Pray to God about it. Give thanks for it. Eagerly anticipate it. Let God shape deep into your heart an expectation of what is your inheritance and what is to come. Let Him speak to you about it and strengthen your resolve in it. And then next, realize that it's through hardships that God allows this hope to grow in you. Understand that when God allows hardships in your lives, He's using those hardships for a great end. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, Paul says there, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces, guess what? Hope. And hope does not disappoint us. So there Paul is talking about the fact that sufferings are used by God to produce in you, the goal is to produce in you hope. And hope as understood biblically in the way that I've been talking about. For Paul, hope was so essential. For Peter, it was a source of inexpressible joy, full of glory. So we need to understand that it is through the hardships become the opportunity where our hearts are made tender, where our neediness is exposed, where our temptations to despair and to be despondent are triggered, and where we have the opportunity to preach truth to our hearts, the truth of what God has laid up for us. Not as something pie in the sky, but something just around the corner. Something to be seen and embraced and lived in with great joy and expectation. So, it says in Hosea that God intends to turn the valley of Achor into a door of hope. Achor means trouble. God's intent for His people is to turn the door of or the valley of trouble, when we're passing through that terrible time in our lives, His purpose is to turn it into a door of hope for you. Now, sometimes that valley can be very long. And we go through days, we go through even weeks of seeking to allow that hope to renew us, to revive us. But I want to call you to persevere in that, to seek that through your difficult times, not to abandon hope. That's what the devil wants you to do. That's what the flesh wants you to do. And once you abandon hope, you have to turn to something else to fill the vacuum. And you'll turn back to all your broken ways and patterns. No, hope is the way that we endure, that we persevere, that we stay on the path. So through the hardship, through that long valley, you keep setting before yourself the great hope that is yours, even if you don't feel it. You keep reading about it, you keep preaching it to yourself, you keep praying about it, you keep asking the Holy Spirit to bring it to life in your heart, and you know the day will come when God, in His wisdom, knows it is the perfect time to restore you in the joy of your hope. And He will just flood your heart with a renewed sense of His promises and of the great things that lie ahead of you. And you see, as you do these things, as you go to the Holy Spirit, as you seek the truth of the Word, as you pray and worship and sing in your hearts, as you endure through hardships and let sufferings become the doorway of hope for you, as you do these things, hope will spread through your heart like roots pushing their way through hard, compacted soil, opening pathways for all the nutrients to flow. The Spirit will open pathways of God's renewing grace to flow into your life. So I hope that you've been encouraged and reminded of the importance of hope in our lives as God's people. And as we close today, I'd like to invite you now to turn in your hymnal to number 36, rather your worship book. Your worship book number 36, O Day of Peace That Dimly Shines. Let us stand and sing together. How we eagerly anticipate it and give thanks to you that we shall be there as a church, as individuals, to rejoice through Jesus Christ in the great things that are set before us. Oh God, make us to be people of hope. Help us to understand that it is indeed relevant, that the eternal perspective impacts every single moment of our lives and frames our life and clears our clouded lenses so that we know where we are going and can go forward with joy, endurance, and power. Oh God, we praise you for revealing these things to us, that we know the end of the story. And Lord, it's not pie in the sky, but it is truth revealed. It is hope eternal, certain and sure for those who have been born again through the power of the Spirit by the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Beloved of the Lord, rejoice in hope as you eagerly await his appearing. May you know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope, now and until he comes again. Amen. Thank you.